I know our attention span can be quite short, but I want every person in the house of God to listen today for the very first time. Listen to a word. There's a word for you. Every deception has to carry a sediment of truth. Did you hear me? Every deception has to carry a sediment of truth. That's what makes it original. That's what gives the fabric believability. It can never be deception until there is some sort of truth in it. I'm going to use a particular scripture in the very first book of the Bible to bring out that point. Remember what we said the sediment was. Settlement of the bottom of a liquid or dregs. Here in the book of Genesis 3, 4, and 5. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Let's analyze that scripture for a second, because if every deception has to carry a sediment of truth, then we need to find these sediments. Number one, for God doth know. My God. Wow. Wow. The truth is, God knows everything. There is nothing that God doesn't know. Then, according to the word of God, the serpent said to the woman, in the day ye eat thereof. Where is the truth? God had already told them, everything is for your eating. Whoa. Then the enemy, the serpent, said, your eyes shall be open. Where is the truth? Their eyes were already open. They knew the things that pertains to God and the things that pertains to godliness. Proposing to Eve and Adam that their eyes would have been open meant that there was something that their eyes were closed to. And there is a fabric of truth in that. Their eyes were closed to three things. Touch somebody beside you and say, listen good. Their eyes were closed to fear, shame, and sin. For God doth know that he shall not die. And the truth is, God would not destroy them in their sinful state. So, of course, they wouldn't die eating what they were told not to eat. Put the scripture on the board for me, because there's something that I need you to see. Very, very important. This mic is a little bit weak. Get the scripture on the board for me. It is imperative for you to listen when somebody is talking to you. Very, very conscious of your spirit to analyze the words of those who speaks to you. Genesis 3, 4, and 5. Very important. Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The truth is, we were already as God. We were in the very presence of the Almighty God. In the original state, the Bible said, we were created in his likeness and his image. We were in his presence every day, sharing the very oxygen he breathed. Every breath God took, we took the same breath. We knew no evil. We knew no shame. We knew no fear. There was no need to till the ground for food. Childbearing was without pain, and we had the ability to live eternally. What we missed was something very important. Touch somebody beside you and tell them the disclaimer. Satan could never have made such a proposal without a disclaimer. Here's the disclaimer. You will know good. The disclaimer is, and evil. Why was that disclaimer thrown in? Because the devil will not take any punishment for you. The disclaimer is, you would have come to know evil, but by knowing evil, there is a responsibility. For when you have come to know evil and walk therein, there is a punishment for you. Not for the devil. We missed it because we wanted to see God coming up short. The truth is, after observing the church of God today, I finally realize that the original state of humanity was pure. The intent was good. And all that was supposed to be with and for God was in place. But there is a spark. There is a spark that was lit in the very presence of heaven where Lucifer became bitter and decided that his throne would have been lifted up as the Almighty God. And the disclaimer was omitted because of the spirit of bitterness. And now we are under the curse. A curse that tells us whomsoever sin, the soul shall die that sinneth. Leaving us to walk through the door that Satan has opened to our lives. And you may wonder why and how. But I could easily say to you, look back in your life and carefully observe. Have you gotten over your siblings that bullied you? The lies that were told on you as a child? The family member that verbally, mentally, and sexually abused you. The downfall of the broken marriage. The child that failed. The death of your loved ones. Have you gotten over it? Because according to the disclaimer, your eyes are blinded to the truth. Touch somebody beside you and tell them you're living in a state of spiritual poverty that you need to get out of. Touch somebody beside you and tell them, I've got a mind of my own and the word of God is not short in this place, so I don't need sediments. I hope you're getting it. These are some of the things that the devil used to open door in our lives to take over our minds, causing us to question the ability of God, leading us to the root of bitterness from whence the devil came. This is the place where the enemy wants you to be confused and discombobulated. The enemy wants you to be deceived and defiled and then depressed. According to the book of Ruth chapter 1 and verse 10, touch somebody beside you and tell them, wait a while, more is coming. The Bible said Ruth had two sons and her husband. And they all died after the sons were married to these two women. Oh, God Almighty. And Naomi, in her state of bitterness, touch somebody and say, sweet can become bitter because of sediments. God Almighty, the word Naomi means a sweet essence. Talk to me, somebody. But she looked back at Ruth and the other daughter-in-law Orpha, and she said, listen to me. Call me no more Naomi, but Mara, because I'm bitter. Which means he was simply saying, God had done this to me. I wish you would touch somebody beside you and tell them, God knows every reason for my season. There's just so many ways that Satan twists and turns things and presents them before you for you to doubt your place of faith. For you to question your place of understanding. The first time I got a glimpse of this was in my personal life. Can I talk a little bit? And what happened when I came here? I realized that I came here with a ministry, an anointing that would erupt Canada. Oh, sure. I realized I had something rare and different. Because I wasn't here to bring myself up. I wasn't here for money or gains. I was here because I was on a mission. Oh, God Almighty. And as long as you're on a mission, you become the target of the devil. I wish I could talk to you. And there was a time in my oldest brother's house, he's right here, where I would have been on the ground fasting and praying and crying out to God. And I would ask God, God, why do you allow the enemy to triumph and to bless? And I hear God said to me, when you were in your state of mess, didn't I bless you? If I could bless you, why can't I bless them? I realized then that God is a sovereign God. And in his sovereignty, he had to allow us to walk in our own will. Walking in our will is what opens the door to the laws of returns. Whatsoever a man soweth, so shall it reap. For the most part, I realized then that representing God was not going to be easy. I realized then that there were going to be more questions than answers. I realized then that the spirit of rebellion will only bring out the spirit of bitterness. I realized then that there are some things that I would want to do but couldn't do. For the Bible told me that there was a rebellion in heaven. And in the book of Isaiah 14, 12 to 14, we can see where all of this began. The truth is, Isaiah 14 and verse 13, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be as the Most High God. I want you to touch somebody beside you and tell them, if there's any place for God to work, it's going to be in the congregation. But if there's any place to see the work of the devil, I wish I could talk to you for a second. The devil can't work in the congregation until he has a people to work through. Oh, God Almighty. I see something coming down the line, because here in the book of Genesis 3:5, and I'm going to strike hard two words for you so you understand where all of this is coming from. In Genesis 3 and verse 5, the same bitterness showed up in Eve. Eve thought God was cutting short on her. And the devil was able to tell her that God had hid something from them. The cause for power. Touch somebody beside you and say, the call for power. She wanted something more than just being a woman of God. She wanted to rival the position of God. And so according to the Bible, the stage of destruction was set. I wish you would understand where I'm going. There are constant things that went on in the place of this scripture. And misery, as we know it, of course, loves company. After being deceived and defiled, she would not enter into depression alone. And the Bible says in Genesis 3 and verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise. That's it. To make one wise. How much more wisdom would a woman who was drawn from the very rib of a man, who was created in the likeness of image and image of God, would have wanted? But touch somebody beside you and tell them the flesh will never satisfy. Can I talk to you for a second? Tell them there's a quest in the flesh, and only the word, the Bible says it's the word that can bring this quest to a place of satisfaction. According to the word of God, she saw that the tree was to be desired to make one wise.